Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In a time long since past, people believed that our fates were entirely determined by outside forces. If you talked with any archaeologist, he will show you idols to the sun, idols to the moon, to the stars, to the harvest, to animals. And as we move on into medieval times, we know that people who lived during that time believed that angels and demons controlled every aspect of their lives. Archers even believed that an angel would carry the arrow from the bow to the target. This way of thinking, this way of engaging with life, is called by some the porous self. The porous self. And it really is an apt description because it bespeaks holes that are in us through which the outside forces leak in and determine your life, every aspect of life. And they believed that they were at the mercy of something beyond their control. That thing, that force, can prosper you. It can impoverish you. It can kill you, it can save you. And it gives the person an identity for good or for ill without your input. You are a chieftain, a slave, a leper, a rich merchant, impoverished. It all depended on outside forces, and it was never settled. The ground was always shifting under you, and the randomness was disturbing and frightening. It is easy to see why ancients tried to appease deities, what they presumed to be deities. They were trying to take some form of control, even if it were illusory. As humanity increased in learning, especially in the West, a new outlook came about. A solid rule of law was established. The engine of economic progress took us somewhere, and democracy was instituted in our countries. And democracy meant that we participated in our rule. And so the outside forces that once held us captive are now dependent on our choices. We see it in advertising. We see it in election campaigning. We see it in marketing. Products began forming themselves around our wishes. Candidates began forming themselves around our wishes. And we all got the idea that outside forces were in service to our choices. And it's in every ad we see. Have it your way. Just do it. That's an old one. I don't think they do that one anymore. And you deserve everything. You know, you're watching television, and these ads are telling you, well, you deserve a Mercedes. You deserve a hamburger. You deserve a new pair of shoes. And it feeds us. And so products are aids to our self-definition. Politicians are megaphones for our wishes. At least that's what we're told, and that's what we believe. The modern self is the self that rests in perceived power. We decide who we are and what defines us. No outside force can define us until we choose it first. The philosopher calls this the buffered self, the fortified self, the defended self. And it's all an illusion. It's all whistling past the graveyard. In college, when I was at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa, an older guy showed up. And when I say an older guy, he was 23. I was 19, and I thought he was an older guy, wise and all that sort of stuff, and seasoned, and I laugh about that now. But an older guy showed up in a Jeep Wrangler, a red Jeep Wrangler. It didn't have a top. And he was the life of the party. He was a blonde guy. He was Adonis-like. The girls loved him. I hated him. It was hard to keep up with him. He was a sort of a maniacal party animal. You've all run into people like this or have been yourself. But he was always gambling. He always had some action on the side. And one day, he disappeared. And I haven't seen him since. And it occurred to me later in life, as I thought about him, probably he had amassed a mountain of gambling debts. And somebody was in pursuit of him. And he was obviously some sort of addict as well. But what connects here with our idea of the buffered self and the porous self is that he, as much as I disliked him at the time, he was someone's son. And I could imagine his parents' pain, his parents' torment as they considered their wayward son going down the wrong path. And of course, everyone here has been touched by something of that magnitude. It could be a wayward child. It could be some tragic event. It could be that over the course of your marriage, your spouse has begun to manifest schizophrenia. It could be a parent with Alzheimer's, a downturn in the oil prices resulting in the shedding of your job. The buffered self is an illusion. The fortified self is an illusion. And if you still don't believe me, go down to Mobile and go to Margaritaville. Go to a Jimmy Buffett concert. Now, what do you think you're going to find at a Jimmy Buffett concert? You think you're going to find a bunch of happy people who are enjoying the music and who are all very nice to each other. But what you will in fact find is some of the most disappointed and hard people. They just have my Magnum PI shirts on and ponytails. So, the buffered self. Where I want to take you this morning is the end of the buffered self. Because it is illusory and is easily pierced. And if you are not at this point of the end of the buffered self, then there's not much I can say to you this morning other than Happy Easter. But many of you are at the end of the buffered self. And it is you who I would like to talk to this morning. Verse 1 of our gospel reading. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. You can imagine the scene, Mary Magdalene approaching this grave in the dark. And you could imagine she's comforting herself as she is walking in this place, because she is at the place of the most irresistible outside force there is, and that is the force of death. It bends every arc here. It influences every decision here, and it affects everyone in this building. And she is going to this place, and she is looking for Jesus Christ. She is looking for her friend, for her teacher, who had been crucified 3 days before. But it turns out that she was at the wrong place. If she wanted to find her friend Jesus, she was at the wrong place. This scripture is notable. It is notable due to who is absent. Someone is not here. There are many accounts of the resurrection that show us the risen Lord, and we can hear his words and we can watch him interact. But in this one, he is conspicuously absent. And the disciples are at the place, Mary Magdalene is at the place, where they believe is their end destination. But the absent party, the one who is not here in the scripture, changes those plans. verses 4 through 8. Both of them, he's talking about John and Peter, both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. If you want to find the Lord of glory, the grave is not the place to look. If you are looking for the place of your future, the grave is not the place to look. The Easter message is this: the ancients were right. We are, in fact, porous. We are weak in the face of outside forces. But now, on Easter morning, we know that that is not bad news. It turns out that the outside force is the God of promise. He is the God of resurrection. And all of those frightening things I mentioned earlier, all of those frightening things that we all quake at, he holds them in his hand. And in 3 days, in his Son, he crushes them. It is not up to you to define yourself. It is not up to you to engage in quixotic efforts for meaning in your life. You no longer have to buffer yourself. He is risen without our permission, independent of our choice. And when we come to the end of our illusions, that is what we need. Our identities are given to us by his grace. We are in Christ, clothed in righteousness, forgiven and hopeful for our future. Who we are has changed. We are dead to sin and alive in Christ. Our ultimate future is no longer defined by a shroud, but by an empty tomb, by the one who should be there, but who is actually alive and well. And it all happened outside of our control. So as we go to the Lord's table this morning, let us taste hope. Let us taste life. Let us eat. Let us drink. For tomorrow we live. Amen.